People of the world, hello and welcome to Marketing as a Foreign Language, episode 173. On the show today, lots of interesting stuff, fear not. Facebook reversing a new news block in Australia in an unprecedented move. We'll dive into that. Facebook providing advertisers false metrics. Why would they do such a thing? Have you ever seen thousands and thousands of impressions on Facebook ads and gone, yeah, this seems like garbage? Twitter stock rises, defying the market, but it doesn't rise by that much. YouTube update, see other channels your audience watches. This, of course, is interesting because you can collaborate with some of the other folks on the other channels. UFC TikTok combine forces for a live show. We live in a completely new era. I'm finally diving in headfirst into Instagram, doing a lot of reels, and it has become obvious to me that the power of TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram is the power of the future. Mobile bank Capway. We're going to talk about founder Sheena Allen and what she's been up to in regards to disrupting the, what would you call it? The banking industry. We are going to locate the intro in 5, 4, 3. See you on the other side. All right, so Facebook providing advertisers, false metrics for years. Facebook knowingly supplied its advertisers with false metrics for years, according to nydailynews.com. And court documents unsealed this week. The tech giant is resisting claims that it was fully aware advertisers were being given inflated and misleading metrics concerning potential reach or how many people the site's ads could reach, CNN Business reported on Thursday. So here's the issue. Turns out that people lie. Have you ever met a liar? Have you ever lied yourself? What is it about the human condition where lying is just kind of part of the puzzle? Thank you to the folks that have hit the like button. I do appreciate it. I think systemically there's a lot of pressure at Facebook for folks to inflate numbers. I mean, if you're a software designer, you're a coder, and it's somewhat true or mostly true that XYZ number is the case, you're going to want to lean into that. You're going to want Facebook advertisers to feel good about their spend, to continue to spend. Every time I've done a Facebook ad, I do feel as if it is a bit ridiculous because you see these huge numbers, thousands of percent increase. So many clicks, all this impression, and then you're staring at your phone, it's not ringing, you're going, why? It must be me, I'm confused. Well, turns out, according to court documents, that these numbers were inflated or misleading. The documents unsealed Wednesday are from a lawsuit originally filed in 2018 by multiple small businesses, unsurprisingly. The article continues, though the potential reach provides to advertisers was, quote, largely due to fake and duplicate accounts. Such accounts were not removed by Facebook. So it is incredibly hard for Facebook to remove all of the garbage accounts. It's not as if people don't instantly create new ones. It is a problem. It is not easy to solve. So in Facebook's defense, there are a lot of fake and duplicate accounts. And when you think of a fake account, or at least when I used to think of a fake account, I thought of a static account. This is not the case. The fluidity, the acquiescence of modern fake accounts is troublesome, which is to say that these fake accounts are liking posts, they are commenting, they are sharing, and they're doing so via machine learning, they're doing so via programming. And so the article continues, the company resisted its product manager's suggested changes to the metric because of the, quote, significant would-be revenue impact. Sheryl Sandberg, the company's COO, had knowledge of the metrics issues dating back to at least 2017, according to internal emails cited in the suit. Potential reach often affects how much advertisers will spend on advertising, according to the suit. The bulk of Facebook revenue, $28 billion this past quarter, stems from its advertising business. This is where Google makes their money. This is where Facebook makes their money. So these are false metrics. They are based on the fact that this potential reach, one would assume that the reach itself is to real humans. And this, therein lies the problem. When it's not real people, when the likes aren't real, when the comments aren't real, there's no chance of you making real money. And so Facebook has to solve this problem. Quote, these documents are being cherry-picked to fit the plaintiff's narrative, according to company spokesman Joe Osborne. Potential reach, according to Osborne, is, quote, a helpful campaign planning tool that advertisers are never billed on and is calculated in our ads interface and help center. So basically, the counter argument is, yeah, just because it's potential reach doesn't mean that it's actual reach. And you shouldn't be too upset that some of these are bots. They're not real. And we never promised. And nor did we ever bill you. According to that, we billed you on per click or per view. But if there's a bot watching your video, so we would have to dive into what exactly the ads were and who clicked on them and or saw them. Because I do believe there are Facebook options via video that's based on impressions. And do bots watch videos? Good question. Though he referred to the metric as, quote, an estimate, back to nydailynews.com article, internal documents cited in the lawsuit say advertisers frequently rely on potential search and reach, identified as, quote, arguably the single most important number in our ads creation interfaces. Though this isn't the first time Facebook metrics have landed the company in hot water. So ultimately, you know, as a business owner, whether or not your ads are converting, in that you should be able to either talk to clients, understand bottom line revenue impact, have a spreadsheet that breaks it down. You get it. That being said, Facebook providing false metrics is unacceptable. They should be held to account, even if the problem they're trying to solve is very difficult, i.e. fake accounts. Twitter stock rises, defying the market. This from MarketWatch.com. Shares of Twitter Inc. reached 0.65% higher, $272.26 Thursday, on what proved to be an all-around rough trading session for the stock market, with the S&P 500 index falling 0.44%. So if you look at Bitcoin, that's surpassing $50,000 now, and then you look at Twitter inching 0.65% higher, you have to ask yourself, really? What is the future? Is it Twitter? I don't think so. Now, I have to give Twitter a bit more credit than I have in the past. Being on Instagram actually has taught me a lot recently about social media, and I'm starting to understand the influence of Twitter. Still not bullish on it, but we'll see if they can find a way to stay relevant with all of these competitors biting at their heels. YouTube update, see other channels your audience watches. This from searchenginejournal.com. YouTube is giving creators access to new data that will allow them to see which other channels their audience watches on a regular basis. The data can be found in the analytics section of YouTube Studio on desktop. So you're on desktop, you want to understand the other influencers and YouTube celebrities and or producers, creators that you could potentially collaborate with. Well, boom. You can see the channel content that other folks are interested in, and you can begin to model that content. You can get ideas from that content. So your audience enjoys seeing what other channels. A worthy use of your time if you are interested in growing your YouTube channel. Back to the article. This is similar to another card creators have access to in YouTube Studio that allows other videos their audience has watched within the past week. While that data can be a valuable source of audience insights, as I mentioned in this article about YouTube keyword research, it doesn't paint a complete picture. Videos an audience has watched throughout the past week could include trending videos, old videos, videos from defunct channels, and other types of random videos that don't reflect an audience's true interests. On the other hand, channels an audience has watched consistently throughout the past 28 days is likely to be more representative. So Ultimately, I don't believe that there are coincidences, i.e. if you do go to YouTube and you do get a sense of these other channels that folks are watching, there's a good reason you're seeing that. It will either spark inspiration, it will move you in a different direction. So if you're called to go check out these competitors' channels, it will be for a good reason. And if you only listen to this particular piece of information, now you know that it is available. It might get you thinking about YouTube a bit more. UFC, TikTok combine forces for a live show. We're going to see a lot of these collaborations in the future of folks who are, I shouldn't say folks, of companies that are directly working with Snapchat, directly working with TikTok, directly working with Instagram, Facebook Live, etc., to create an online show, live show. I'm reminded of this past weekend when I watched the PBA tournament, and it's typical TV coverage, right? But it's just so much better than typical TV coverage, which is to say there are no commercials because it's on YouTube. And so I'm finding that these major channels have finally just given up. They've gone, you know what? We're going to YouTube. We're going to figure out another model to make money. It's not as if people aren't interested in sports anymore, but you've got some of the sports that aren't as popular, i.e. bowling. And I've been watching a lot of bowling. It's great. I can fast forward. There are no commercials. It's absolutely wonderful. And I'm reminded of that as I look at UFC TikTok combining forces for their live show. This from Variety.com. MMA promoter UFC plans to throw more hands on TikTok. The Endeavor-owned mixed martial arts organization inked a multi-year partnership with TikTok under which UFC will produce live content on the social media platform. That's a big deal. So you've got UFC inking a multi-year deal. This from a company that during the Trump administration was on shaky legs. Folks were not convinced that TikTok would be around. And here they are signing a deal with the biggest fight company on the planet. The deal encompasses new weekly UFC shows on TikTok that will feature live footage from weigh-ins and press conferences, athlete interviews, arena tours, fighter training segments, and more. Each show will be programmed around an upcoming UFC live event to drive awareness. UFC is aiming to boost its existing TikTok follower base of over 7 million users on its official channels. According to the company, videos with the hashtag UFC have been viewed more than 8 billion times. I've been watching some of the content on YouTube, the free fights. They're very good, and I can see how that would slowly transition me to spending money with UFC. And obviously, they do see revenue from the number of views they're getting on YouTube. Mobile bank Capway, this from blackenterprise.com. Capway founder Sheena Allen is catering to people looking beyond conventional banking services to make monetary transactions to get help with their personal finances. To do that, Allen started the FinTech mobile bank and app, providing a fresh way for people to manage money and avoid paying high-priced fees for alternative financial services. So this is at the crossroads of ethics and capitalism. This is, as far as I can tell, the future of capitalism, where the good work that you do, where giving back to your community, where the actual essence of the company itself is vinculado, which is Spanish for linked, chained, connected to a purpose. So a purpose-driven capitalism. Capway's products include checking accounts, debit cards, and financial education. Its website reveals the customers Allen is targeting offer a potentially huge market. According to blackenterprise.com, they include people without bank accounts, folks who do not trust banks, and others with no savings accounts to build emergency funds. Now, if this is outside of your wheelhouse, outside of what you typically deal with, the underbanked is a huge, huge market. And these folks deserve not to be taxed for being poor. I don't know if you're familiar. Well, I'm sure you are. If your credit is poor, you pay more. If you can't afford a home, you often pay more for rent than you would to actually purchase the home. If you cannot purchase a home cash, you are now financing that home and you are paying the interest. And so it literally is expensive to be poor. It is, you can't buy in bulk. You don't enjoy economies of scale. You're often underinsured. So if bad things happen to you, you don't have that safety net. It is one of the biggest failings of capitalism is that it is more expensive to be poor. Now you can argue we have a progressive tax system, i.e. it's more expensive to be rich. And that would be the counterbalance to my argument. But shout out to Sheena Allen for doing what she's doing. Back to the article, a whopping 63 million American adults, or 22%, are reportedly either unbanked or underbanked. A 2019 Federal Reserve report shows 6% of Americans lacking bank accounts turn to costly outlets like check cashing services and payday lenders to tend to their finances. And 16% of underbanked Americans with some kind of bank account still must rely on substitute financial services. Tech-savvy millennials who do not bank like their parents or previous generations could bring another market sector. Consumers from 21 to 34 report greater participation in mobile banking than any other age group. So go get them, Sheena. Best of luck to you, Capway. Facebook reversing news block in Australia. This from CNET.com. In the face of an Australian bill that would force Facebook to pay publishers for the news content that surfaces on its platform, the social networking giant last week made a dramatic move, pulling all news from its platform down under. After several days of discussion between Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg and Australia's treasurer Josh Frydenberg, the company on Monday announced an end to the standoff, bringing news back to the platform. Quote, after further discussions with the Australian government, we have come to an agreement that will allow us to support the publishers we choose to, including small and local publishers, said Campbell Brown, head of Facebook's Global News Partnerships Division. In a statement, quote, we're restoring news on Facebook in Australia in the coming days. Facebook will bring news back to Australia, not out of generosity, but rather because it says it got sufficient concessions from the government. Frydenberg and Australian Communications Minister Paul Fletcher pledged on Monday to make changes to the news media bargaining code, the bill in question, which they assured will, quote, strengthen the hand of regional and small publishers. So governments do have power here. This is the extension of globalism that is going to have far-reaching consequences. There is a good chance that companies, global international companies, will be stronger than governments. It's kind of that simple. Let's take a company that's 10 times the size of Google. Individual countries are going to have to fight individual battles, and they may not have the resources to win those battles. They can try, they can do, everything they can, but at a certain point, the populace is going to want to use that product. It is difficult to compete against them. And so we go from a situation wherein you have a company within a country where you can break up that company, i.e. break up a monopoly. But when that company is in 96 countries, now you have to somehow unify all of those countries in order to defend against exploitation of that company, assuming that the end users still want it. So this, the crux of the issue is that people want Facebook. People want Google. They want this technology. They're addicted to it. They enjoy it. And so it's not as simple as it seems for a government to come in and say, okay, we're going to try to protect our news publishers, so we're going to pass a law. Well, they obviously have to pass that law, and that's going to take time, and it's going to take lobbying and a lot of energy. And so it would not surprise me that multinational companies in the future have a different kind of power, a global power, and a power to be able to influence global culture as well as disrupt governments, because they will struggle to fight these battles against these massive entities. Now, I find it interesting that many of these global entities happen to have their start in the United States. Not all, obviously, but the tech giants have sprung from this small pocket in California. It's all very interesting how all of this has unfolded. Ladies and gentlemen, Marketing as a Foreign Language is live every 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday. It's also available on iTunes, Spotify, and a number of other podcast platforms. If you like what you're hearing, do me a favor, hit the like button, subscribe, comment, all of those things, even if the comment is, hey, thanks, or good show, or nice, do help with the algorithm. They help grow the show. If you want to join us in live chat, 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time is when you would do that. Esther Sass writes, I'm so over Facebook. And she would be correct about that. Many, many people feel precisely the same way as she does. If you're watching us after the fact, hey, we appreciate it. Thank you. So Facebook providing advertisers false metrics for years. I'm not surprised. It seemed like they were false. It seemed like the reach was ridiculous. And it turns out that it was. So my gut was correct on that one. Twitter stock rising. Yeah, okay. We'll see. YouTube updates. See other channels your audience watches. It's a neat little tool that's worthy of checking out on desktop, on YouTube. UFC TikTok combining forces for a live show. Multi-year deal. This to me doesn't completely solidify the fact that TikTok's not going anywhere, but I don't think TikTok's going anywhere. Mobile bank Capway. Capway founder Sheena Allen doing the right thing, creating a company that's good for people, that's good for the economy, and ultimately an ethical step in the right direction. And Facebook reversing its news block in Australia, showing that the Australian government and governments around the world will continue to fight against Facebook, and that there are agreements to be met. We would have to dive into the details to understand exactly what those agreements are. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the show for today. I appreciate it as always. Hope you have a fantastic Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, depending on when you're listening to this. And we will see you hopefully tomorrow for the show. Bye for now.